You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. You guys may be seated. So I've looked forward to this Sunday for really all summer because we ended Colossians last Sunday. We're not starting Hebrews until August 17th. So this is sort of like a one-off sermon. So I get to choose whatever I want to preach today. And all summer long, I've been thinking about different ideas, different ways to go. And I'll just say the sermon that is going to be preached this morning is not at all my idea. This is just what the Lord, I feel like, wants me to do this morning. And so it's birthed out of just, for one, I love pastoral ministry. I love being a pastor. Greatest job in the world. But it's also hard in the sense of you go through a lot of hard things with people. And there's never a week that passes where there's not a phone call, a text, a visit with one of you that's not just gut-wrenching. Because life is hard and we go through some really, really hard things. And just recently, walking with a brother through his battle with cancer for about 3 years now. And real recent, he got some really bad news that it's back, it's aggressive, didn't know what's going to happen. And so been just ministering him, going to his house a few times. And just the other day, I was sitting on his couch and he was trying to process just grief and cancer and what's happening and all the things. And as we processed, I said, have you lamented? And he said, what do you mean by that? I said, well, let's just walk through Lamentations chapter 3. So we went through Lamentations chapter 3 and just went through this complaint of the prophet Jeremiah to God, complaining how bad everything is, complaining how bad life is, complaining how bad his state is, complaining how bad the world is right now. And then it gets to this moment of through his honest complaint that he gets the Lord as his portion. And he sees this great faithfulness of the Lord, but it's not bypassed through complaining. So I just asked my friend, have you got honest with God? Have you complained to him? Have you told him that this is not okay? And he said, well no, I didn't know that I could. And so as we began to just walk together and sit together, all of a sudden, hope sprung up because he could be honest with God. And he didn't have to hide. He didn't have to give two thumbs up and everything's okay and everything's going to work out and this is all great and it's all part of it. He was actually just able to be real and honest and complain to the Lord. And in the midst of that, in darkness, he found a little bit of hope. And it's that hope that he is now clinging to. And it's been a few months of just walking with a lot of you through very similar things, through some really awful things. And what I've learned is sometimes as Christians, we don't have a language. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do when life is hard. Because in one sense, I think maybe because of social media, we have a very filtered Christianity. Like if you just notice, and we can do the same thing on our social media, but it's always filtered. It's always like two thumbs up and bright colors and filtered lights. And following Jesus, it's always awesome and it's always great and everything's awesome and Sunday's awesome. It's the best. Just come in and it's all great. And sometimes that's true. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's actually pretty terrible. And so what do you do when life is kind of terrible? So I want to help us get the language of lament and give you permission to complain to God about what you're going through. And I know some of you are a little uncomfortable with that. I can't complain. I've got to trust. We're going to see that complaining is trusting. That complaining is actually going to lead you to the Lord in faith and worship. When you're silent, it actually kills your soul. In silence and ignoring reality, you're actually going to draw away from the Lord rather than drawing to him. So I want to give us permission this morning to lament, to get honest with the Lord. And we're going to kind of walk through a little bit of a hard topic this morning. It's how to lament. How do we have hope in darkness? And some of you are going through some really hard things. And I want to give you permission in this moment to just lament. So if the person beside you is crying, that's okay. Because crying is human. One author says lament is Christian. So we're not just crying, we're lamenting. We're saying the world is broken and this is not okay. What's happening is not okay. God, where are you? How could you? What are you doing? That's what God wants you to say. Because it's in lamenting and honesty that you're gonna find him to be your portion. And if you are a person without hope this morning, as you lament, you're gonna see that you have hope, therefore you will hope. And your hope is not based on that everything's gonna work out. It doesn't always. But you're gonna find out that God is always there. And God is always enough. He is our portion. And his mercy never runs out. So this morning, I know we're dealing with some heavy stuff. You've been through some heavy stuff. If you're not, you're gonna go through some heavy stuff. It's living in a broken world. So what do we do when life is hard? We lament. So let's go to Lamentations chapter 3, probably not the book you thought we were gonna go to this morning. Lamentations chapter 3, and I wanna give a definition on lament as we go there. There's an author named Mark Vrogup, I think is how you say his last name. He's the president of the Gospel Coalition. He says this, here's what lament is. It's a prayer in pain that leads to trust. That's what lament is. It's a prayer in pain that's honest, that's brutal, that leads to trust. He wrote a book called Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. We actually have two copies in our library if you want to grab them on your way out. It's helped me so much in learning how to lament and learning how to teach you guys to lament. So some of what we talk about this morning is from that book. So I highly, highly recommend it as we walk through Lamentations and then a few Psalms of Lament. So as we think about Lamentations, what we find in Lamentations is as we read it, if we were the Israelites and we knew Hebrew, we would notice that this is not a normal poem. It's actually a funeral dirge. And what that means is like most poetry, there's three lines and there's three lines. So you sing it, it's like chorus, verse, everything flows good. Well, a mourning or a lament psalm or a lament book, it has three lines and then it's two lines. They're cut off, they fall short. It's representing death. That's how Lamentations works, these three long poems and these two short ones. It's a funeral message because Jerusalem has fallen. They're in captivity, the Babylonians. Everything is terrible. This is a bad book. Nothing is going good. But if you have your copy of God's word, if you're in Lamentations chapter 3, I want you to look up at the heading of Lamentations 3. Do you know what the heading says? Great is your faithfulness. That's the title, the heading of chapter 3. And we're gonna see in a moment, chapter 3 is pretty terrible. Life is not good, yet in the midst of that, great is your faithfulness. So the question is, how do we get from life is bad, my life is bad, everything is terrible, to great is God's faithfulness? It doesn't happen through Christian cliches. It doesn't happen by wishing away and being positive. It happens through being honest and lamenting before the Lord. That's what Jeremiah is gonna do. So I want us to just kind of walk through the progression of what happened. So if you have chapter 1 of Lamentations, go ahead and turn there and we're gonna see where these people are in their lives and where this prophet, who I think is Jeremiah, is speaking from. He says this, "How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow she has become. She who was great among nations, she who was a princess among the provinces, has become a slave." So Jerusalem, in all of her glory, in all of her splendor, in all of her wealth, in all of her might, in all the goodness as she followed the Lord, now she's lost it all. She's lonely. She is now a slave. Things are not going well in Jerusalem anymore. If you go to chapter 2, we see in this catastrophe, now we're going to see this dark cloud that Israel is under. Notice what we see in verse 1. How the Lord in his anger has set the daughter of Zion under a cloud. How's Jerusalem? They're under a cloud. This was the title of the book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. Some of you this morning are under a cloud. Maybe you've been under a cloud for a while. Maybe you're getting ready to go into a cloud. A cloud feels like, where is God? I can't see the sun. I can't feel his warmth. I can't feel his presence. There is a cloud over me, a cloud of darkness. This is where Israel is at. They're in a deep, dark cloud. They can't feel his goodness and his presence and his joy of the Lord. So what do you need if you're in a dark cloud? You need deep mercy. Notice what we see in chapter 3. So if you go there, verse 22 says this. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. Deep mercy. See, here we have in this Lamentations book, and we're going to walk through it a little bit more in just a moment, but I want to just preview. We find them, they are in catastrophe. Life is bad. We see they're under a dark cloud, and in this dark cloud, they find deep mercy. How do they find the deep mercy of God? We're going to see it only comes with being honest before the Lord. Truly being honest about what has happened and what is going on and how they feel and the circumstance. It is through lamenting, which is complaining. So I want to give you this morning permission to complain before God about what is going on in your life that is not good. And you're like, I don't know that I can do that. Isn't that irreverent? Isn't that a lack of trust? Isn't that a lack of faith? We're going to see that complaint towards God is an exercise of faith. It is trusting God. It is going towards God by being real and honest. So I want to walk through his complaint because we're going to have to see it's through this complaint that opens the doorway to find who God is. And here's what I want you to see. If you are suffering in silence, meaning you can't say anything to God, you can't bring your honesty, you can't bring your questions, you can't question him or his word, or you can't question his plan, you can't question his will. If you can't bring questions to God, then you will be silent, and silence is a soul killer. And you're gonna think, I'm gonna be silent because I'm just gonna trust, but your silence will push you away from him. What he wants is you to be honest. Guess what? He knows all your questions. He knows what you're feeling. He wants you to go to him and work it out with him. And he is God who can work out your questions and maybe not give you answers, but he can give you him. And he is what you need. So let's hear from the prophet complaining about the situation. Chapter 3, verse 1. Here's what the writer says. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. It's a bad situation. Notice, surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. So he is physically suffering. Some of you are physically suffering right now. Jeremiah's bringing that to God. He's being honest with the Lord about how he feels. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. That might be what you feel like right now. Now we're going to see throughout the Psalms and through Lamentations, a lot of the questions and complaints, they're not true things, but it's how we feel. And it's okay to say untrue things to God about how you feel, because you know what God will do? He will work them out and show you the true things. But it's okay to be raw and vulnerable before the Lord. Notice he keeps on saying, listen to what he says about God. He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for his arrow. Say, God, you're having target practice with your bow, and I'm the target, and you just keep shooting me. You're like a bear and a lion that's devouring me. This is how he feels. This is how God feels to him. And he's running to God with all of his complaints. He's voicing them. He's not hiding them. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. I've become the laughingstock of all people, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. Life's not good. This isn't filter, put on social media, hey, life's great. This is everything is terrible. And then he goes on, he has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. So notice, his peace is gone. Some of you don't have peace this morning. It's evaded you. It's left you. You can't find it. You can't hold on to it. You don't have peace anymore. Not only has peace left him, I've forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord. He's lost peace, he's lost happiness, and he's lost hope. This is Jeremiah, this is Israel, this is their situation. Life is not great. And for some of you, this is you. This is how you feel. Life is not great. You've lost peace, you've lost happiness, you've lost hope. And you don't know what to do. So in silence, you just go on with life. Because you don't want to complain. You don't want to come to the Lord. You don't want to voice how you're feeling to him in brutal honesty. So you put on a smile and you come to church and you go home and you just go further and further away from the Lord. And we're going to see what we need to do is lament. What we need to do is have a prayer of pain that leads us to trust. It is good to go before the Lord with all of your questions and all of your complaints and all of your pain, because he is a God who can handle all of those. And he can give you more of him. So here we see Israel. We can see they are in suffering, and it is because of their sin. So I don't want to move past this, because some of you might equate, okay, if I'm suffering, it's because of my sin. Maybe, but it's not always the case. So there are three ways that I think we suffer, three reasons why we suffer. Okay, so I just want to take a little pause, because I don't want to confuse anyone to say, man, I've got this illness and it must be my sin. No, that's not the case. So here's what we see. Consequences are one way we suffer. So we suffer the consequence of our sin. Galatians 6 says we reap what we sow. So if you sin, there's going to be consequences. And sometimes your suffering is because of the bed you made. It's because of your own sin. It's because of what you did. You're in jail because you stole something. Well, that's on you. So don't be like, God, why am I in jail? You stole. So that would be a consequence. But then secondly, there's correction. God disciplines his children. Hebrews chapter 12 said it's the love of God that disciplines us. See, some of us hold idols. We love idols. We run to idols. And God has a way of disciplining us so that we let go of idols and we grab onto him. So some of you might be going through some suffering, some discipline, just because you need to let go of an idol, because he loves you and he wants you to have him. But then there's a third one, and that's what we're going to call catastrophe. We live in a broken world. And a lot of you are going through suffering, and it's not because of anything you've done. It's because you live in a broken world. The world is broken. And see, Israel didn't really understand that. Even Jesus has to work this out in the Gospels. I'll give you an example of, for instance, Luke 13. Here's what Jesus says. okay? There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the sacrifices, and he answered them, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than any of the other Galileans because they suffered in this way?" So dealing with suffering. "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Then Jesus gives another example. "Or do those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse offenders than any others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." What she is getting at, hey, a tower fell and killed 18 people, and the question to all of the Jews were, what did they do? Bad things happen to people when they do bad. And Jesus is like, "Whoa, no, no, no. It had nothing to do with what they did. They're not any worse than you are. Here's the problem. The underlying problem of suffering is sin. Sin broke the world. We live under a curse. The world is broken. So often you are suffering because we live in a broken world." See, we can't forget the gospel story. We can't forget Genesis 3. In our brokenness, some of you have got a diagnosis or you've lost a loved one or something has happened and you're thinking, "What did I do? Because if I would have been good, God wouldn't have gave me this." And often we suffer, things happen to us because we live in a broken world with sin and sickness and disease. It's not anything that we've done, it's we live in a broken world. So you have to remember two things. Number one, we live in a world that is not the way God made it. That's really important to remember. You live in a world that is the world, not God how made it. God made a world without funerals and hospitals. Those were not supposed to be. Our sin brought funerals and hospitals. Our sin broke the world. We live under a curse. So often we look at our sin, it's, man, our sin broke this place. And suffering happens because we live in a broken world. And then second, we have to remember God doesn't leave this place as it is. Jesus came to suffer on a cross so that in the new kingdom, suffering would not exist. In the new kingdom, there are not hospitals and there are no funerals. There are no tears. There is no suffering. God does something about all suffering. Jesus Christ suffered to make it all right. So in your suffering, here in Lamentations, it's their fault. They rebelled against God, now they're suffering. Some of you are going through stuff and it's not anything you did, it's you live in a broken world. So what do you do when you just suffer because the world is broken? You go to the Lord and you lament. And in lament, he draws near to you. So I just want you to see what happens in Lamentations. So we saw he's bereft of hope. He has no peace. He has no joy. He's at the end of his rope. And then we get this beautiful line. Verses 20 says this, "My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me." Verse 21, here's the turning page. Verse 21 says this, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." Wait, what just happened? Jeremiah just said, "I've lost hope. I'm hopeless. I don't have happiness. Peace has left me. I'm in suffering and nothing's ever going to go right." And then all of a sudden he says, "But this I call to mind." And then all of a sudden, in remembering something, in calling something to mind, he now has hope. What does he call to mind? Notice, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." That's what he calls to mind. "Man, I'm suffering. This is hurtful. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where we are. How could this happen?" And he's just processing. He's in pain. He's crying out. He's lamenting. He's arguing. He is complaining. And then through that, he gets to a place in his mind where he sees all of his suffering. And then he remembers who God is. "Oh, I remember the steadfast love of the Lord. It never ceases." And so in that dark cloud, what does he receive? Deep mercy. Notice this. "His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning." You know what you need in your suffering? You need the mercy of God. You know what's available to you in all of your suffering? The mercy of God. It's new every single morning. It is available for you. God is near to you. He is drawing near to you. He knows your suffering. He wants to be there in your suffering. And he wants to give you his love and mercy every single morning. He wants to make it new. He wants you to walk in it and lavish in it. That whatever you're going through, he's going to be right there with you. He doesn't say, I'm going to take your suffering. He says, I'm going to walk right with you through it. And I'll never leave you. In every moment, I will give you new mercies to endure whatever life throws at you. Notice, this mercy never comes to an end. They're new every morning. Then he says these words, great is your faithfulness. Do you remember chapter 3? Life's going terrible. Their plot is terrible. Great is your faithfulness, God, because you love me and you give your mercy all the way through all my suffering. And then he says this, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. I want you to see the change. So in chapter 3, he says, I have no hope. It's gone. And as he gets brutally honest with the Lord, as he puts that before the Lord, he's complaining, he's getting real about the situation. I've lost hope. Then there's this turning point, and I think this was the Lord's doing. All of a sudden, he calls to mind something. And in calling to mind something, he says, now I have hope. What is hope in? The Lord, his steadfast love, his mercy never comes soon. It's new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So now he has hope, and then he says, now the Lord is my portion. And then what did he say? Now I will hope. So notice, he goes from no hope to now I have hope and I will hope. What changed about his situation? Nothing. He's still suffering. He's still in the midst of it. What has changed? His knowledge of the Lord. His memory of the Lord. His drawing near to the Lord and the Lord drawing near to him. All of a sudden, he says, the Lord is my portion. Notice that, the Lord is my portion. In other words, he's all I want. He's my life. He's everything. See, it was through this suffering, it was through his complaining, it was through his lamenting that he got to the place where he realized God was actually enough. And when he found out God was enough, he says, I have hope and I will hope and nothing can shake my hope. Because it's all in God. See, if your hope is in anything other than God, eventually it will be hopeless. I mean, just name the thing. What if your hope is in your health? One day it will fail. One day you'll get terrible news. One day you'll die. What if your hope is in your family? One day they'll let you down. One day something tragic will happen. One day someone will be lost. What if your hope is in a job? One day it's not gonna work out. What if your hope is in a sport or a hobby? One day it's not gonna be enough. Whatever you hope in, whatever is your portion, eventually it's not going to be enough. But if God is your portion, if God is your God, then you will always have hope because he will never go away. He will never die. You will always have him. So how did Jeremiah get to this point? It's through walking through lamenting, being honest, not saying, hey, everything's great. No, everything's terrible. And through that, the Lord drew him to himself. So I wanna ask, how do we then practically lament? Like, what does it practically look like? In that book, Deep Clouds, or Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, Mark tells us to do this, to turn to God, then to complain to God, then to ask in prayer, and then to trust. And we're comfortable with three of those. The whole complain thing, we're like, I don't know that I can do that. If I complain to God, it means I'm not happy with God and I have to be and everything in my life has to be like, it's all good, it's all great, it's all wonderful. Well, I'm gonna invite you to complain to the Lord when things aren't going well. And the reason I'm inviting you to do that is because the Bible does that. So let's go to Psalms. Let's go to Psalm chapter 13 first. And it's a short little Psalm. But what the psalmist does is he does those three things. He turns to the Lord, he complains, he asks, and he trusts. And so here's what we see. How long Verse 1 of chapter 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and my sorrow in my heart all day? How long my enemies be exalted over me? You know what the psalmist just said? Hey, God, where are you? How long? Have you forgotten me? Are you not there anymore? Where have you been? Why aren't you coming? How long? Why are my enemies winning and I'm losing? Why is everything bad? What's happening? It's an honest complaint to ask God how. We're invited to ask God why. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me as with Jesus on the cross? Ask God why. Ask God how. Ask God where were you? What happened here? We're invited through the Psalms to get real and honest with God. When things are broken and things are hurting, we are supposed to give lips to that in psalm and in lament and to tell God how we feel. He knows how we feel. But as Christians, we don't really know how to do that well. Like even when we see tragedy abroad or tragedy in our own country, we're not sure what to say because we feel like we can't ever complain because that would somehow be distrusting God. So we can see in Texas, like floods that sweep away countless girls. We're not sure what to say. We're, as Christians, like, don't we have to defend God in this? What can we say? How can we even step into that? You know what we should say? What is going on? How could that happen? God, where were you? God, what is going on over there? How can people suffer like this? We're able to step into those grievous moments and give voice to what we're feeling. Instead of just ignoring and saying, I mean, everything happens for a reason. That is true, but it's not what we say right then. And if we just go to that, we don't do real work with God. And we start to distrust him, we walk away from him, we distance ourselves from him. You know what we do when we get real with God and we ask why, where were you, how could you? Then God begins to work in our hearts and we remember, oh yeah, the world is broken. That's why floods happen. That's why terrible things happen. The world is broken. We broke it. God, you are doing something about it. God, you've done something about it. And it's in an empty tomb. It's through a cross and a resurrection. You're not okay with this. You're coming to make it all new. So we can grieve and complain, and it leads us to recognize what's wrong with the world. There is something majorly wrong, and the gospel corrects us, and the new kingdom is going to be a place where there's no more tears, no more floods, no more hospitals, no more funerals. God's not okay with it. He did something about it. And he wants us to go to him to get there. Some of us need to complain to the Lord about what's going on in our life because we're not being honest, we're not being real, and it's leading us away from God rather than to God. So notice the complaint. How long? Why aren't you here? What are you doing? And then it says this, consider and answer me. So now he's praying. Oh Lord, my God, light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I'm shaken, but I've trusted. Notice, complaint, prayer, and then what does it end in? This is a crazy switch. But I've trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Complaint moves to prayer and it moves to trust. See, we think complaining to God is not trusting God. Complaining to God is one way we get to that sweet trust and worship of God. He can handle your complaints. He can handle your heart and your fears and your emotion. He can handle it. Go to him and voice it. Some of the Psalms say, God, why are you sleeping? Wake up. Can you imagine how irreverent that sounds? To tell God to wake up because he's sleeping? The Bible does that. And it's not because God is sleeping. It's because when you feel like he is, go ask him if he's sleeping. And he'll show you he's awake. He'll show you he's here. He'll show you he's near. Don't hide it. Don't suffer in silence. It will kill your soul. Go to the Lord in lament. There's a difference in being angry with God and running from him. There's a difference in complaining and coming to him in a reverence. God, tell me, here's your promises. I'm going to throw them right back to you, and you tell me how these promises are going to work out in my life. And you know what God will do? He'll walk with you, and he'll show you how those promises are going to work out in your life. But you have to voice the complaint. You have to step in that scary space. There's one, we don't have time, but Psalm 77 is one that I would encourage you, if you're in struggling, to pray through Psalm 77 when you get home. And I'll just give you just a few lines of it. We don't have time to do the whole thing, but I want to give you a few of the honest prayers in Psalm 77. Verse 7 says this: will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love ceased? Are his promises at the end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Man. That does not sound like something you can say. God, have your promises not come true? Have you stopped being merciful? Have you stopped loving us? We can't say that, right? The Bible does. Now, is any of this true? No. But it's what we feel sometimes. And you know what God wants? Take those feelings and take them to him. Because you know what happens when we lament? He comes. Notice this turn. Then I will say, I appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I'll remember your wonders of old. Now he's got a memory. Now he's remembering who God is and what he's done. And it ends in verse 19. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters. You set your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. What is that event? The Exodus. So notice he moves from, hey God, everything's terrible. Where are you? Why don't you love us anymore? And then, oh, I remember who you are. Now I trust you. And I remember the gospel. You've rescued us. And when you rescue people, you keep a people. So I'm going to hope in the gospel. They had the Exodus. We have the cross and the empty tomb. In all of our suffering, we can say, Jesus, you suffered with us and for us so that our suffering will end one day. We cling to the gospel. In all of our suffering, in all of our pain, we have a voice of prayer in pain. It's called lament. And you know what lament will lead you to? Not running away from God. It will lead you to God. It will lead you to trust him, and it'll lead you to the gospel. So I want us to take just a moment and lament together. I'm gonna ask Matt to come back out, and we're gonna sing one more song, and it's a song of lament. It's a song of, though you slay me, you're still good. And some of us need to sing that this morning, that I don't know what's happening, I don't know what's going on, it feels bad, everything's bad, but you know what? I know that you're good, and I know that yes, you are working all things together for good. Not all things are good, but he's working them all out for good. That's what he's doing in your suffering. So you can remember who Jesus is, and you can say, I have hope, therefore I will hope. Why? Because he's my portion. Not my health, not my life, not my family, not my friends, not my fame, not you name it. God's my portion. And when God's your portion, no matter what you go through, you have his love, you have his mercy, you have him, and he truly is enough. So we're gonna sing this song together as a lament, as a cry out to the Lord. If you're not going through anything, lament for a friend. Pray for a friend. Weep for a friend. If you're going through something, it's okay to lament. This is not a place that's always two thumbs up happy. This is a place that we should be able to cry together. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to stand and lament together. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for Jesus. Help us during this song to remember the world is broken, but you are good. And you showed us through the cross and the empty tomb that you're making this broken world good again. So as we stand between a broken world and a good God, let us lament and cry out for what we know is coming, a perfect place. We pray this in Christ's good name. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.